Hello and welcome to Chapter 5 of Marketing 101. Chapter 5 is the first of three chapters that you'll have on Test 2. Test 2 will cover Chapter 5, Chapter 7, and Chapter 8. Please make a note of that. We will not do Chapter 6, 5, 7, and 8 on Test 2. Okay, let's look through this a little bit, and you may find this to be a tougher chapter. It is important to understand to begin to understand a little bit about consumers and why they buy is an important part of marketing, and this is really a light treatment of it, but it will leave you with some test questions and some psychology-based and sociology-based types of terms that you may not be perfectly familiar with. You may have to actually study some in this chapter. In Section 1, I won't drag you through the company example of Harley-Davidson, though that's probably a good example for understanding their customers. Consumer market. We want to understand the consumer market, what we're talking about. The point is we're not talking about the business market. We're talking about selling products to their final user, the consumer, if you will. And then down in Section 3, we talk about the characteristics that affect consumer behavior. This is our introduction to the types of things that make people decide whether or not to buy. In general, there are four general factors, or basic factors, I should say, that determine that. They are cultural, social, personal, and psychological. If I were making this list, I'm not sure I would have added psychological. That, in a sense, is part of personal. But since textbooks tend to want to do so much with psychological theories, they do think about them as a separate thing. So what do we mean when we talk about these four? And I will leave you to look at that, but I do want to point to the terms here. Under cultural factors, culture is simply a set of ways of acting that some group of people have in common. Now, we think of a culture on a national scale, but increasingly, we have to realize there are subcultures, local cultures, small group cultures. But any common ways of thinking, behaving, and acting, we would call a culture, technically. Does that affect people's what they buy? Yes, what's acceptable to their friends. And a very short list from that is to move into social, or step from that, is to move into social issues. And a couple of terms there. One is opinion leader, or actually one term. One is that term is opinion leader. What's an opinion leader? Someone that if they're won over, others are won over. You know, in any group, small group of friends, local community, they are leaders. They are those that people follow and look up to. If they wear it, they drive it, they listen to it, that adds to its appeal for others. So in marketing, we try to reach those, understand who they are, and reach those opinion leaders because they will guide others to our product. The text does some interesting things on page 140 with American social classes. I would encourage you to look at this. This has been done many different times in many different ways in marketing. Attempts to roughly segment the market, break it up into parts. What I would want you to find interesting is how stereotypical many of these things are, how they group people together very quickly. But marketing does have to do that to get their hands around the whole picture. Marketing can't work if it thinks of everyone as truly an individual. You have to try to group those as much as possible. Personal factors. Not delving quite into the psychology yet, but simply looking at personal issues, there is lifestyle and personality. Personality is the way people tend to think and the way people tend to show themselves. Their lifestyle is the same thing, but it includes what activities they like to participate in. So you start adding activities, you get into lifestyle. Now, dipping into the psychology stuff, and there are a couple of test questions here as well that I want you to name. And both of these are very standardized. I would honestly have to include these as A-type questions overall in the course. You can't say you've studied much about marketing or management if you've never seen and are not familiar with Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And to get to that, let's start with this word right in front of that, motive. Motive is something that drives you to action. Now, what is a motive? Typically, motives are wants and needs. Those are internal states that something is missing. There's something else we would must have or would like to have. This fellow named Maslow a long time ago looked at those needs in particular, and he divided them up into these categories. And he called them levels because he thinks of them as very much being sequential, which means when you name them, you need to name them in order or you're missing the point. Because Maslow believed that No one would reach the next level of needs until they had satisfied the current level. And his first level was physiological. Now, to you and I, that means physical needs. Air, water, food, those kind of things. But be careful, you must use this word physiological, but don't misspell it so badly that it starts to look like psychological, because that's anything but physiological. But those are the first level of needs. The second is safety. People need to feel like, I can stay alive. I can stay, I'm not going to be exposed to the elements. I have a place to live. I'm going to have food tomorrow. Those kind of things become important to people once their basic physical needs are satisfied. Maslow believed, as do most psychologists, that after those two levels of needs are satisfied, that social needs are very important to people. We need to interact with others. We need to fit in. We need to be part of groups. We need to communicate with others, social needs. And at some level of that, we tend to want to stake out a place for ourselves in those groups. Typically, this means leadership. We want to have some pride, some self-esteem. So Maslow called that esteem. And finally, there's a level that most people arguably never reach, and that's self-actualization. Some people seek to be a musician as a way to put food on the table and find a place to live and to meet people. But at some level, they tend to take pride in that. They're at the esteem level. And a few even really want to be genuinely creative and are actually working at that level. We call that self-actualization. Perception is how we see things, how we translate our senses into interpretations. Learning is a kind of interesting definition for this, the way most textbooks do it, this one included. It's a change in behavior. Now, you and I think of learning as having more knowledge inside, but the textbook definition of learning is more, it's a change in behavior because of what we have learned. Next is attitudes. Attitudes are how we think, feel, and act towards things. So when I ask the components of attitudes, one way of saying it would be think, feel, and act. But the proper words for those are these three, the ABCs of attitudes, if you will. The A is affective. That's how we feel about things. Behavior is how we act about or toward things. And cognitive means thinking. It's how we think about things. So you will have to name the five levels of Maslow's hierarchy in order and the three components of attitudes. And I would name those in order, A, B, C. Then we move down to types of buying decision behavior. Look at that in the text, but I'm not terribly interested in that. But in Section 5, I do like these steps in the buying process. This is a very standardized kind of list. You have to understand that when people are going to buy or make any decisions for that matter, they typically go through this series of steps. This is probably a high B question, not really an A. Know these for the test, but it's not the kind of thing you'd be expected to remember a year from now, but you should be expected to recognize it a year from now. Therefore, let's call it a B and ask you to name these eight on the test in order. They are steps. The first step is passive information gathering. The thought is that in our daily lives, we're always gathering information. We see things, we hear things, we're aware of things around us. But they don't cause us to want to go buy something until we realize we need it or want it. And we call that realization point need recognition. Once we do, now we'll go more actively gather information. We may be riding down the road, we're seeing all these cars pass us, that doesn't mean anything to us, until ours starts acting up. Now we have need recognition. When we get home, we may go look up cars on the internet, see what kind are out there, what's in our price range, what appeals to us. That's active information gathering. Once we come up with a group of those to consider, we have listed our alternatives, step four. Now what do we do with them? We compare them. We look into them a little deeper, maybe look at their reliability ratings, talk to people about them, maybe even test drive them, those kind of things. Talk to dealers about the prices. Then we select the best alternative. We actually make a choice. A transaction means to buy it. Are we through? No. Once we buy any product, we should and would like to think that we use it and we're ongoingly evaluating it. Why? Not as much for the sake of that product, but for the sake of our process. What did we not do correctly in gathering information and selecting our alternatives or in comparing them when we made our selection? We want to adjust that process for the future. So these are the steps in the buying process. Why does this matter to marketing? We should realize which level our people, our customers or potential customers are in. Do we have someone in the store that's already listed their alternatives and is simply comparing them? Or are they actively gathering information? Or are they waiting on someone else next door and simply passively gathering information? We need to understand that whenever possible. Cognitive dissonance, interesting phrase, interesting term. Cognitive, as I said earlier, means thinking. Dissonance means disharmony, you know, conflict, if you will. So what does cognitive dissonance mean? It means a conflict in our thinking. Wow, I wanted to go to that concert this weekend, but I'm so tired, I'd like to stay home. I'm sort of torn between it. What do I have? I have cognitive dissonance. Step 6, stages in the adoption process. Again, stages, which implies that these are done in order, so you need to name them in order, and you will have to name them. This is a very standard kind of list. Certainly a low A. We'll put it right there. That would may make my list of A's a little longer than the 10 or so I told you at the beginning of the course. But this one is certainly not uninteresting. When people become users of a product, they typically go through these stages. And like those steps in the buying process, as a seller, we would like to understand where the people are. Do we have them already? Or are they just becoming aware of our product? Do they have an interest yet? Or are they, you know, starting to pick it up and take a look at it? Have they actually tried it, or are they willing to try it? And are they at that adoption or, by the way, rejection decision point? So we say the stages in the adoption process are awareness, interest, evaluation, trial, and adoption. A couple other things there that don't interest me, as at this point does international consumer behavior. So you look back and you see you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 questions in this chapter to actually name. Now, to you, that may right now seem like 5 lists, but if it does, you aren't thinking hard enough about them. These are important. The psychology of consumers is an important part of it. If you look down the term list, I believe these are covered fairly well here. Consumer market, the end users, culture, common shared opinions, opinion leader, just exactly that. Lifestyle and personality we talked about, motive we talked about, perception, learning we discussed, attitude, how we think, feel, or act towards people and things, cognitive dissonance, an internal thinking conflict, adoption process, the steps you go through in deciding whether to become a user or reject a product. The last three, not really in the text, but I think they're self-explanatory, derive demand. We call the demand for tires, automobile tires, derived demand because it's derived from demand for automobiles. Similarly, demand for automobile workers is derived from the demand for automobiles. There would be no demand for automobile workers if there was no demand for automobiles. Same thing with tires, that kind of thing. System selling is when we sell a whole system. There are ways of doing that. Normally we think of this also as group selling, but that should certainly stand out on this page. Value analysis is just exactly that. I look at something and I say, is this a good value? How much will it cost me now? What benefits do I get from it? Okay, I think that will take care of Chapter 5 for you, and you should be in good shape. Thank you very much.